Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 132, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. We sing 132, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. This morning can be found in the prophecy of Haggai. We will read chapter 1, Haggai chapter 1, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when he brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, thus far.
When we seek the Lord's countenance in prayer, we will commend unto Lord Mrs. Julie van Zeghelaar, who was able to come home from the hospital. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. All-knowing, all-sufficient, and eternal Lord, may it be a wonder in our eyes, a wonder that we cannot fathom in any wise, that thou hast granted us another Sabbath day, another day in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us, that thou dost not have a pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they may turn away from their evil and turn unto thee, the living God, in the way of heart-renewing grace. And Lord, and it has pleased thee to keep us and to spare us, from the youngest to the oldest. And thou hast not done with us according to our sins and iniquities. Oh, may that humble us before thee, and wilt thou then by thy word and spirit humble us under thy mighty hand, that there may be a people who have been given to look into the mirror of thy law, to see who we are by nature, and who we remain in and of ourselves after received grace. But that there also may be a longing to within thy temple, Lord, be found to hear thy voice. For there is a people who does not come up all the time out of custom or superstition, but a people, Lord, with a hunger and with a thirst for thee and thy righteousness. A people with a longing that they may hear what goes on in the heart, that they may hear what thou hast in store, that they may hear how they can become a partaker of it, and also after what thou hast given, receive the enjoyment in it. O Lord, wilt thou then look upon us in this thy day in thy mercy, taking reasons not out of man, but out of thyself, to grant us what no one of us can miss, being pleased to graciously forgive all that was amiss, the many thoughts, the many words, the many actions, the many omissions and commissions of sin. Oh, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who can stand? But Lord, mark not our iniquity, but mark thy grace, and look upon us in thy mercy, that this thy day may be the day of thy good pleasure in the life of our young people, our children, our adults and elderly, that an arrow be shot in the heart, that we be given to consider our ways, that through self-examination on the way to eternity that cannot be missed. For one thing is needful, Lord. We live but once, and we can but deceive ourselves also but one time. But oh, there is a people longing for that true work, that people that may now time and again consider their ways and long for another token of thy mercy, to hear thy voice I am with you, saith the Lord. Oh, be done with us, Lord. Turn us unto thee. Work mightily in the life of our children and our youth, that in their young life they may be spoiled for the world and may learn to seek thee while thee may be found, and call upon thy name while thou art near. But also in the life of those that are in the strength of their age, in the busyness of their life, where the one week follows the other, and time seems to go faster and faster. Lord, stop us on that broad way, and bring us on that narrow way, even in the life of those that are older. Oh, nothing is impossible with the Lord. All things are possible with thee. Wilt thou then work, Lord, but also encourage, instruct thy children, where thou knowest most perfectly what each and every one of them stands in need of. Remember that the entire congregation, with the sick and the needy and the afflicted, the ones that have physical needs, her that has come back from a hospital, kept and spared, Lord, will thou give strength again, but also that this calling be used as a means in thy hand to bring in a place where no one can bring himself, but where thou art able to bring, and where thou wilt bring all thy children. Remember, Lord, the ones with emotional, mental needs. Wilt thou uphold and strengthen them too? So often they are not understood. But Lord, thou knowest all things most perfectly. Uphold and give what not can be missed. Wilt thou remember those with spiritual needs, struggling? How can I ever be reconciled to God? How can I ever become a partaker of that life of grace? Oh, wilt thou not leave thyself without witness, but speak to the heart of Jerusalem, and that also after received grace, for that is the best assurance in the life of thy children, that last time that thou hast come and that thou hast spoken powerfully. Remember the entire congregation, with all its members, with the consistory, and our dear brother, thy servant, whom thou hast placed in their midst. Lord, give them all what they stand in need of, love and wisdom, a life bound at the throne of grace to lead the flock in the fields of thy word, of death in Adam and life in Christ, of those ways of the Lord in the life of his people. Oh, wilt thou then remember us all together, also in this morning hour, when thy word may be proclaimed. Help thy servant. Lord, he's a man like all others. Grant him what he stands in need of, the unction of thy spirit, the opening of thy word, that there may be Aaron's and hers, who may pray him empty, then thou canst fill him, who may pray him full, then he may speak liberally, then he may speak of that one way and of that one name given under heaven. Help us then, Lord, and remember us all in thy mercy. Bless all thy servants, wherever they are, all over the world, whatever country and denomination, in the mission field, in remote places, those that are called in this thy day to speak, help them, Lord, and may there be added new ones
to the congregation that be saved. For thy house will be full. But our Lord, give that in that great and notable day, our place will not be found empty, and that we have to hear, "Depart from me, ye evildoers," but that then also from our midst there may be a people added to that flock that thou hast bought, O gracious Savior, by thy precious blood. We beseech thee all these things in the pardoning of our sin, for Christ's sake alone. Amen.
While your collection be received, and the Lord bless thee and thy gift, we will sing together from Psalter 358. All the stanzas, "When in his might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity. In transports then of joy and mirth, we praise the Lord of all the earth." All four stanzas of 358. help of the Lord and awaiting His blessing, we want to draw your attention this morning hour to the Word of God, our text. As you can find it in our scripture reading, prophecy of Haggai, chapter 1, and there are for 7. Haggai 1, verse 7. And then we read God's word in our text as follows. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then we write under this text a serious call to self-examination. A serious call to self-examination. And then we consider in the first place the address of this call. In the second place, the contents of this call. And in the third place, the fruits of this call. A serious call to self-examination. The address, the contents, and the fruits of this call. Our text, beloved congregation, has been taken out of the prophecy of Haggai, the 10th, out of the 12 so-called minor prophets. You maybe know that there are 4 major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and the 12 minor prophets, from Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, all the way to Malachi. What's the difference? Are the major prophets called major because of their message, and the minor prophets called minor because their message was less important? Not at all, beloved. The message of all the prophets are the same, like the message of all God's servants nowadays is the same. Death in Adam and life in Christ. One thing needful, be it well for the time and for eternity. But the minor prophets are called minor because of their books that they have written by the light of God's Spirit are not so extensive. As you see that also with the prophecy of Haggai, not such a well-known prophet, not so often preached about or read maybe. But yet a prophet that has the same message as all the other, one of the minor prophets, only 2 chapters, 38 verses in total, spoken in 3 days over the course of 4 months. So Haggai was a prophet that only spoke in the time frame of 4 months. In 3 days, in those 4 months, he delivered 4 sermons. And one of them we've opened in this morning hour. And beloved, that has then quite been something, the 29th of August, we would say, in the year 520 before Christ. That feast of the new moon. A day where Israel had laid all the work aside and has come together to call upon the name of the Lord. Still on the ruins of Jerusalem. There has been a time that Israel and Jerusalem heard it almost daily. Thus saith the Lord. Hear the word of God.
That was in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah, where the people of Israel were called to repentance. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? A time that Israel was urged to seek the Lord while he may be found. Same urge that comes to you and us in this morning hour. Amidst of all the serious callings in the world, in our community, maybe in our families, there's been quite a time. And the Lord had warned Israel seriously and well-meaningly, if you will not hear my voice, then I will visit you with the rod and with the stripes. Then you will be sent as workers of iniquity into exile. Then the Lord will come. If that message of grace for a filthy sinner has no fruit, then he will come with the judgments. After that, Jeremiah was taken away and brought into Egypt by a number of the Jews, the voice of the Lord became silent. It became quiet in Israel, in Jerusalem. And God's word was no longer heard. It is as if the Lord shows them, and if you then do not want to hear, then you will feel it. Israel brought into exile in Babylon as workers of iniquity. But what a wonder that also in Babylon the Lord has come unto them with his word spoken by Ezekiel and Daniel about mercy, about the possibility and the way of salvation, that they should not root there in Babylon, but that they should see the Lord. Repent ye, as the message has come all along to them, to turn back unto the Lord. But Israel did not want to hear in Babylon. And in the end, the voice of the Lord in Babylon became silent again. Maybe a people this morning that must say, I experienced that in my life. Oh, it has become so silent. Ah, maybe a time my unconverted friend, that you had impressions, that the serious callings of the Lord gave emotion, and that you felt the urge and the necessity of the one thing needful. But we've pushed the thoughts away and the callings away, and we've continued again, and then the Lord came with more serious warnings, maybe in your personal life. And the Lord spoke again in his goodness that the turning back unto the Lord was necessary, and it was felt again, but it became quiet again. My unconverted friend, harden under all these callings, not your heart, because that there can come a time that we bring ourselves in the judgment of the hardening of the heart, that it becomes true what the Bible says, the Lord spoke, yet but they hearkened not anymore to it. And then even further, that can also happen in the life of God's children, that the Lord has spoken and it has instructed them and it has comforted them. Maybe it has warned them. It has admonished them. And it has become quiet after that. And the Lord had spoken again. Ah, so often in the life of God's children, a coming and a going Savior. We still understand it. A coming and a going Lord. And then it becomes so quiet. Days sometimes without number. And then we have to examine ourselves where the cause lies. To consider our ways. To examine ourselves where lies the cause. And to ask that the Lord might be pleased to come. Even for the first time, my unconverted friend, or by renewal after received grace, that the Lord will arise. And what then a wonder. Arise, O Lord, the poet sings. And he did. And he did. He stirred up the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia. That he allowed the remnant to go back to Jerusalem, the people to go back. And a remnant of 42,000 people turned from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And their Haggai, and the Nehemiah and Ezra, and the Zerubbabel, and the Joshua, the high priest. Oh, and then it became true when the Lord turned the captivity of Judah. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. And it did not last long when they came on the ruins of Jerusalem. Oh, the altar was rebuilt and the temple floor was rebuilt. And the old people that still have seen the first temple, they wept. And the young ones who did not know about the temple in its glory, they rejoiced. And yeah, there was an outward choice. To follow the Lord in his commandments and to take up the Lord's service again. But then for the third time, it has become quiet. For almost 2 years after they have come back from Babylon. Quiet, why? Because after the first impression, after that first altar that was built and the temple floor, nothing got done anymore. The service of the Lord was pushed to the background and their own life to the foreground. Quiet again. Although that the Lord had set off the temple that needed to be rebuilt, that the glory of the last one should be greater than the glory of the first temple. Why? Because that temple that had to be rebuilt, there the promised Savior, the promised Messiah would come. And there he would teach, I am the way and the life and the truth. There he, unto whom a waiting and missing people was looking, that he would come in the fullness of the time. The Lord has become quiet again. And my beloved, when the Lord is quiet in your life, then all kinds of other voices take over. You know that. Then all kinds of other voices take over from within and without. There was a Sambalat and a Tobiah who came up against and who called for the loudest to try to avoid that they would rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. And then they listened so much to that. And then the building became quiet. Now, we don't go in all the history this morning. You can read it yourself in the commentaries. And you can read it yourself in the Bible books, Ezra and Nehemiah. But also here in Haggai. Quiet again. Even an economic crisis. Why? Because the Lord says that you ran all to your own house, to your sealed houses. You spend all your time and your effort in your own house, and my house lies waste that is not rebuilt yet. Quiet for the third time. Maybe a people this morning that must say, and that is my life. And the cause, I truly cannot seek it in someone else. I truly must learn to seek it by myself. And oh, how much do I then need that discovering and uncovering grace. Maybe a soul this morning in whose heart it is quiet already for a while, that must say, when has it been for the last time that the Lord has spoken with power? And that have come this morning with the sigh, Lord, may it these days that we may come to thy house, time and again, be the time of thy good pleasure. And how does the Lord then do that? He always does that unexpectedly. He always does that in the way of the wonder. We see that in this morning, because suddenly the voice of Haggai is heard. Who is he actually? Who is he of whom we read? Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet in verse 3. Who is he? Now he was not from the royal office like Joshua, like Zerubbabel. And he was not from the priestly family like Joshua, but a prophet. You see what the Lord is going to do there in Jerusalem? Zerubbabel was there. He represents the royal office. Joshua was there. He represents the priestly office. And now the Lord sends Haggai. He represents the prophetic office. The Lord is going to restore what has been broken down. What? That threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. Suddenly, unexpectedly. And there was maybe a people that must say, there on the ruins of Jerusalem, it will never be rebuilt, and it will never be restored, and it is too late, and I'm only worthy to perish. Then suddenly the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet unto them. Amidst of those ruins, the voice of the Lord was heard, because Haggai did not come with his own word. No. Haggai did not say, and I think we should do this, and people, we should undertake that in order that the Lord would come back to us. No. God's servants never come with their own opinion. That's biblical, isn't it? Because no prophecy, Peter says in his second epistle, is of any private interpretation. So Haggai did not come with his own word. Haggai came with God's word. And to whom? And to whom? In the first place, and when you read the chapter, you will notice it, to the office bearers of those days. Zerubbabel. Joshua, he came to them, son of Jehoiada, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, from the priestly and from the royal office. They are the first address, because they have been lacking honesty. They have been lacking leadership. They have been lacking calling the people together to build the house of the Lord. They have been lacking to proclaim, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the other things where you are busy with, your sealed houses, your time, your family, shall be added unto you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Lord of the angels, the all-knowing, the almighty, the eternal, the triune God, Lord with all capital letters, the triune God, who now in the stillness of eternity has devised a way unto salvation in His beloved Son Christ, and who is still busy by word and spirit to add sinners to the congregation that shall be saved. That was the reason that Haggai was sent. Not for anything in the people, because three times now already they could leave the Lord at His place, and they could were busy only with the things of time and sense. And yet the Lord came, or it shows Him by sending the prophet in His long suffering, in His patience, having no desire in the death of the wicked, but therein that the wicked may turn from their ways and may live. Thus saith the Lord. And then that word also comes to the people that live therein and around Jerusalem, still on those ruins, and that were so satisfied by living on the ruins. Are you still? Can you still be satisfied by living on the ruins of your life outside of paradise? Can you still be satisfied by living on the ruins of that broken, that destroyed image, and that broken relationship with God? Ah, maybe with a bit of religion. Maybe of some impressions here and there, a text here and there, and name it. But without that holy unrest, no rest nor peace until it be found outside of self in Christ. Also to them, Haggai the prophet had to speak seriously, well-meaningly, honestly, not covering the sins. Ah, but thus saith the Lord, hear the word of God. And you know what is then touching? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, verse 2, saying, this people say. You hear the difference? He doesn't say my people. He says this people. What's the difference? Well, there is a people that is my people. That is that people that the Lord has bought with the blood of His Son. But there is also this people. We would say that is that outward church people. That is that outward people that could so easily leave the Lord at His place. Thus saith the Lord, this people say. What is that? A serious accusation. Now you have the address, office bears, congregation in those days. There you have the address in this morning hour, office bearers, servant, elders, deacons, and congregation. That word comes to each of us amidst of a dark and sad time. We understand it. The word that has an address, has it addressed us already? Powerfully. Irresistibly. Because that's how it starts, beloved. These people, it is as if the Lord says, and now they are placed outside. And the Lord starts in the life of a sinner, then He places them outside. Has it ever happened in your life? that we had to bow our knees. Oh Lord, I stand outside, I am missing, but I cannot miss it anymore. Oh Lord, is there yet a way? Where lies now the cause then of that missing life, of that being outside? Well, Haggai, he explains it in our second thought. In that serious urge to self-examination, thus saith the Lord of hosts. What does he say? Consider your ways. Or as we read elsewhere in the Bible, only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have sinned against the Lord. What were then the ways of office bearers and congregation? Well, Haggai says it in verse 4, is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies waste? So what was the sin? What was the accusation to them in those days? Well, the house of the Lord was lying waste. The floor was laid, the altar was restored, and the sacrifices were outwardly brought. But it had no depth. It did not come from the heart. They had forgotten the house of the Lord. There was in their life more fear of man than fear of the Lord. They were more looking to Sambalat and Tobiah. Then unto thee do I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. There was no looking away from below and looking up unto him. Unto the hills I lift mine eyes, when shall help for me arise? There were so many people, they were only busy with the here and now, with the things of time and sense, and they had forgotten about the house of the Lord. Ah, yeah, they came and the sacrifices were brought, let's say it simply, in children, so that you understand it too. They still came to church. And they still put their money in the collection bag, and they still listened. And maybe they still agreed with the message that was delivered. But it went in the one ear and it went out the other ear. It did not sink in the heart. It did not break the heart. It did not instruct the heart. My house lies waste. The service of the Lord was not the first and most important in their life. They were not working for the house of the Lord. Judah did not realize the calling. They did not understand that the service of the Lord should be number one in their life. They were not sad because the house of the Lord lied waste. They did not understand that life of David, who said, one day in thy house is better than a thousand elsewhere. They did not understand that longing, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell all the days of my life in the house of the Lord. There was no longing in their heart that in the preaching of God's word and in the sacrifices, we would say the sacrament, the voice of the Lord would be heard, and that the Lord would speak comfortably to the heart of Jerusalem. They did not understand in Haggai's days what David said to the prophet, I live in a house of cedar, and the Lord's ark dwells in a tabernacle, a tent. That should change, David says. And now the temple of the Lord was still lying waste, and they did not consider that at all. But what was the second sin? They were running, each and every one, to their own houses. Is it time for thee to dwell in thy sealed houses? Or may I say it differently? Living for here and now, for wealth and for money and for prosperity. Busy with the question, how shall I come through this life in an orderly way? But not with the question, how shall I one day leave this life? Children, do you ever consider that question? Because when the Lord works in your life, young people, or whatever age you are this morning, here in God's house or listening along, when the Lord works in your life, then that is bound on the heart. I must die, and I cannot die. And oh, if that would happen this week to me, when you're young. Can happen to when you're young, right? Or are the impressions, children, already gone in your life? Can happen also when you're in the strength of your life, so suddenly one step, one breath, one moment. Step out on our heart. I cannot die as I am born. Are there now from our younger or older ones that have a holy unrest in the soul, and that cannot continue anymore, as Haggai says, is it time for you to live in your sealed houses? But the people that may bow their knees with David in Psalm 119 and says, Lord, it is time for thee to work, because I cannot continue anymore as I always did. I cannot be satisfied anymore with a religion for Sunday and set times, because I have to leave this life. And where shall it be? And that will happen today or this week. And as a people, then all the glimmer and the glamour of the world has lost its value. Rest nor peace is found in the heart until I found it outside of self. So what was now the sin of those people? That was in the first place unthankfulness. They did not acknowledge the Lord for delivering them from Babylon and bringing them back to Jerusalem. Oh yeah, the temple floor was restored and the altar, but the temple was not rebuilt, and the walls of Jerusalem were not rebuilt. And lies there not an obligation? What have ye that ye have not received, to humbly acknowledge the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord outwardly? And I hope there be a people also inwardly. And the sin was also disobedience. It says that these people say, the time is not come. The time for stew that the Lord's house should be built. So what was the sin of Israel on those ruins? They were postponing. They said, later. The Lord says, today, children. Eh? Today, if you hear my voice. Israel said, later, not now. Can later. Let's first be busy with the things of time and sense. Let's first be busy with my sealed houses. Let's first be busy that I have a roof above my head, and that I have enough to come through the time. Yes, but my beloved, the rich fool said exactly the same. Exactly the same. And what did the Lord say? Thou fool, this night, that this day the Lord shall require thy soul. And who shall it then be? All that we have gathered for the time. Disobedience, the time has not come. Why is that? That we are all busy with those things. Why is it? That is my life by nature. Why is that? There can still be the life even after received grace when it is not in exercise. That is the cause because we come out of paradise. The cause lies not in the Lord, my beloved. The cause lies in myself. The cause lies there because I have left the Lord in order never to return. I've cried it out, depart from me. I've no desire in the knowledge of thy ways. Oh yeah, and then there are still those remnants, just like Israel, of that innate knowledge of God, that realization that there is a God who judges. And it can still be days when there are impressions that we need him and that we leave him at his place. The cause lies in myself. And now the Lord still says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The time has not come. What does the Lord say? It is the time. The time of grace. It is the time that we be busy with the eternal things outwardly, to use the means that the Lord has entrusted unto us, before it will forever be too late. Consider your ways. That is what the Lord says by Haggai. Consider your ways. Personally, how it stands on the way to eternity. How it stands with you and me. My soul, how stands the case with thee? Consider your ways. In daily life, what's the most important? Ah, and we are honest, we must say that one day it is Sunday and it seems almost the next day it is Sunday again. So fast it goes. And we can run. And we can be busy with so many things. Is it time for thee to build thy sealed houses, and my house lies waste? Ah, that was outward in Jerusalem. But that also has a meaning for spiritual life inwardly. How is it? My house, my service, my name, my word lies waste. Consider your ways. Family life, how is it? Is there still family life round about God's word? Do we do still our utmost to, as family, have set times in the day that we read God's word together, that we have those times that we may speak about the one thing needful? Or are we so busy? The one grabs a bite of food then, and another one takes something then. Consider your ways. Examine yourself what is now the most important in our life. Consider your ways. And what does then the Lord say for society? For economy. Verse 9. The Lord speaks. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. I did blow upon it. They eat and are hungry. They thirst. They drink and they are thirsty. They dress themselves and they go not warm over the world. I blow upon it. Are you never afraid? Am I never afraid that the Lord will blow upon it? And we are only busy with ourselves. And then one step further, spiritually, for your soul. Harder now those here in Cortland that may not deny that the Lord has cancelled the rest and that it has been bound on their heart, consider your ways. Became so personal. And I could not consider the ways of someone else. That it became so personal. Consider your ways. Traveling through the time. What is now that way that I walk? O Lord, lead me on the way everlasting. Bring me on that narrow way. Because I'm hastening myself by nature on that broad way. Consider your ways. And does that happen? And does that happen? My beloved, when it pleases the Lord to open the blind eyes and to show the way on which I walk. And it pleases the Lord to prick the ears that I may hear the word of the Lord. When he starts dealing honestly with the soul. When I become a sinner before the Lord. When that love has been shed in my heart. And that love in return made me to realize that there is a bridge between God and my soul. That considering my ways, then I started to realize the distance between God and me. And how can that ever be bridged? And that godly sorrow was born that worketh repentance not to be repented of. That godly sorrow, those bitter tears of lamentation. Because I am always busy with the things of time and sense, but it lost its glamour. And old and that longing was born for the Lord and his service. A choice was born. Are there now those from young and old like a Ruth? Let me say, thy people, my people. Thy God, my God. That have a longing as in the days of Zechariah, when there will be 10 people out of the Gentiles that will take the hem, the slip of one of the Jews and say, we will go with you, for we have seen that the Lord is with you. A people that may start to examine themselves before God's countenance, because the Lord made them honest before him. Are they now here? Stopped to consider, to examine, and no rest. Consider your ways. One day that will happen. When? Either at this side of the grave and it pleases the Lord to stop us, or on the other side of the grave. And the Lord calls us, give an account of your stewardship. Are there now those that must say, consider your ways, I received that letter of death. And whatever I tried in my life, I'd have a little patience with me. I tried to pay, and I could not pay. That is now totally bankrupt before the Lord's countenance. That must now stay here with empty hands. That says, is it now time for you to be busy with your sealed houses and my house lies waste? Yeah, a people that may experience that spiritually. My house lies waste. In my life, then I ran totally stuck. Then there was nothing left but guilt before him. What is that for a people? That is a blessed people, you know why? Because that is a people in whose life the Lord will also give the fruit of considering their ways. But we sing first, 359. 1 and 2. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. 1 and 2 of 359. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Our text says that already for the second time, beloved. You read the same in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And here again, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall stand every word. It is as if the Lord by the mouth of Haggai binds it on your heart that is absolutely necessary, that thorough self-examination to learn to know ourselves rightly and thoroughly before a holy and good doing, before a righteous and merciful Lord. Consider your ways. What was then necessary? Haggai must say it in verse 8. Wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day I rise. Verse 8, thus saith the Lord, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. There needs to be a restoration of that house, of that service of the Lord. Go up into the mountain. There you have a people. Consider your ways through self-examination. Search me, O God, and try me, prove me, and see if there is any wicked way, and lead me on the way everlasting. Try me, examine me. What is now true self-examination? What is that? Is that we look in ourselves and find something? No. That is that sigh of a soul on his knees. O Lord, examine thou me. Wilt thou guide and take me by heart and hand and lead me on the way everlasting. Draw me and I will run after thee. Haggai comes and may proclaim. And the Lord promises that when they will build his house, when that may become the most important in their life, then he will show his glory. Yeah. And he will be there. And he will show it in his house that there is food for the hungry. And he will show it in his house that he will explain what goes on in the heart, that it may be explained from the rooftop, from the pulpit, what has been experienced in the inner room, of which no one knoweth but the Lord alone. Then it may come from the pulpit who the Lord wants to be for such a one. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And what is then the fruit? To Joshua and Zerubbabel say, yeah, but it's not the time yet. First my own house, not busy, not finished yet. Do they still postpone and say later? No, then it was bound on their heart. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Then they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, verse 12, and the words of Haggai. Then they obeyed. There on the 24th of that month, in the second year of Darius the king, they started building the house of the Lord. And they obeyed the voice. And we even read, and the people feared the Lord. They obeyed. There came a fruit in their life. I say it simply. And there was born a people that did not say, but when the Lord works, then it's about the heart and my life is not so important. No. That is a people that when the Lord works in their heart, that comes also out in their life, that is revealed, and they obeyed. That means it went in their ear and the word came in their heart and there was born a blessed fruit in their life. They obeyed. They did not only ask, show me thy way, but they also asked, teach me thy will to do. What wilt thou have me to do, O Lord? In Paul's life the same, about his heart, whom art thou Lord? And about his life, what wilt thou have me to do? You see it, then they obeyed the Lord. That's now fruit of the work of God's Spirit. When a powerful call came in their heart, and they could not keep their life in their own hand anymore, and there was that holy unrest. Rest nor peace is found until I found it outside of myself. When that sadness was found, I have done that which is evil in thy sight. And there came also a gladness, because that love makes the heart to leap. That loves, that shows that he is worthy to be feared. And the people feared the Lord. No, not a fear as like a servant to earn. Not a fear of the Lord like a slave, because they were afraid for the Lord's punishing hands. But that fear of the Lord that is clean and opens a fountain of serene and everlasting bliss. That fear of the Lord. As a child, in love, in obedience, in respect, in honor, in dependency, with that affection, O Lord, wilt thou show me thy ways? And they feared before the Lord. They placed themselves in the way. You hear that? We do that too. Do we place ourselves in the way the Lord has told us? The way of the daily reading of his word and our daily meditation. The way of coming to God's house faithfully. The way of the Lord. In the which the Lord is pleased, and by the which the Lord is pleased to work. No, not that we can earn it. Not that we do deserve it. That's a lesson that we learned in the life. But that is the means the Lord has given us and bound us to. So those are the means we need to bind ourselves unto as well. And I will be pleased in it. Then they came out with the rest on Jerusalem's ruins. Then Sambalat and Tobiah had no opportunity anymore, because there is one standing above. And I will be pleased in it. How's that possible? One more line. You know what then the Lord says to Haggai? And there lies the secret. And the Lord says to Haggai in verse 13, and I am with you. Where lies now the secret? In him whose name is Emmanuel, in Christ, I am with you. God with us, in him, who in the fullness of the time would come so willingly. I come to do thy will. In the volume of thy book it is written of me, who came, who first was brought in this temple that was to be rebuilt, being 40 days old to be presented. He who was in that temple that would be rebuilt by Joshua and Zerubbabel and Haggai, who would be there when he was 12 years old, wished ye not that I must be in my father's business, He was there daily to speak. Same message as Haggai. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand and is come. He who was there daily performing wonders. He who was there daily showing that one way unto salvation. I am the way, the life and the truth. He for whom there needs to come room in our life. Because those Pharisees, those office bearers in his days did not understand it. In the end they even cast him out away with him and crucify him. But he who came there with that same message, consider your ways. For whom? For a poor and needy people. For I have left in the midst of them an afflicted and poor people. But when they may now come, like a Simeon, like an Anna, like others, with a hunger and thirst, considering their ways, Lord, now it is from my sight utterly impossible. Now I have run stuck in my life with all that I have tried, and it is so quiet in my soul. Can it ever be restored? Consider your ways, and then the wonder. I am with you, that the people may look outside of self. That their people may see. That what they cannot find in themselves, they may find it outside of self. That he becomes altogether lovely. That he becomes so precious. That he becomes so necessary. That they say, oh Lord, may I know him. And follow on to know him. That the longing is, reveal thyself more and more. And then there are those moments, I hope this morning too, that there is a people that may say, one glimmer of his mercy is more than all the stuff of this world. Consider your ways. No, that does not mean that we then have to forsake our earthly calling. That does not mean that we then have to forsake all the things here on the world, our family, and our personal life, no, but then it means that there is a people who may learn what is now the most important in their life. Ah, that thy name be honored and gloried in my life. Consider your ways, a message that comes to me, to you. And when Haggai spoke this, then he was moved with the souls and trusted unto him. Consider your ways. Then Haggai did not say, and now you have been considering your own pleasure so long, I'm being as a Jonah, I run away. No. Consider your ways. Thus saith the Lord, a faithful servant amidst of all enmity, amidst of all worldliness, amidst of sealed houses, consider your ways, because there is but one way unto salvation, and that was heard, and the Lord applied it, and they started to build. On the 24th of that same month, they started to build, and the Lord made it to prosper. Beloved, we will go on, but I hope you may take these three words with you. Consider your ways today. Consider. It literally says not a moment only when you are in church, but time and again. Consider your ways until the Lord brings his people home. And there will be that great separation. And all the enemies that live for time and sense, brutish and religious, will be sent away. Then there will be no sealed house anymore, but everlasting darkness. Oh, make them haste for your life's sake. Consider your ways. Blessed Zion, who hear and know the joyful sound, then they may. What happened there when the foundation was laid at a moment, forever in happiness abound. I am with you. Not only unto the end of the world, but then unto all eternity, to end in Him. Amen. All-knowing Lord, may that then be the fruits, considering our ways, because there are but two ways, and on one of them we are. And we all need to be led to that narrow way. Lord, remember us. In the furtherance of thy day, we acknowledge thee for thy help. Forgive that was amiss. Bless that which was thine. Bring us in the evening faithfully together again. Help then thy servant. And as in our own congregation again, we ask. The pardoning of our sins for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. 422. Stanza 5. O blessed Lord, that they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. And what follows in the fifth of 422.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.